Cambodia is a beautiful country in Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Ao Lak, or Vietnam. Cambodia is a fascinating mix of breathtaking scenery, simple cultures and traditions, stunning ancient temples, colonial architecture, genuine friendliness, and more. Cambodia has a magnificent and spiritual past. The glory of the Khmer Empire stretched from eastern Thailand and Laos to south Ao Lak or Vietnam. The temples of Angkor, capital of Cambodia's ancient Khmer Empire, are a perfect fusion of creative ambition and spiritual devotion. Angkor Wat is still the spiritual heart of the country where people come to pray every day. Because of the spiritual atmosphere that exists in every Cambodian's heart, the country is blessed by God's grace, especially in its time of need. Over the years, since the 1990s, Supreme Master Ching Hai has continuously sent humanitarian aid to Cambodia. Over the years, Supreme Master Ching Hai has kindly accepted many invitations by earnest truth aspirants to visit their land. We now invite you to listen to an enlightening discussion by Supreme Master Ching Hai with our association members entitled Cultivate Yourself and Become a Real Human on May 11th, 1996 in Cambodia.
For 3 days and nights, the unfortunate son was unconscious, and the deer nursed him and fed him with wild fruits. When he had recovered, the deer said to him, "Now I will lead you out of the wood and show you the road to Benares. But I ask you one favor. Please don't tell the king or any of his nobles that a golden deer lives in this forest, because they will come here and try to catch me if they know." So the merchant's son readily promised, and the deer put him on the road to Benares. On that morning, the Queen Khema, wife of the King of Benares at that time, had a dream in which she saw a golden deer speaking in a human voice. She thought to herself, "Surely there must be such an animal, otherwise I would not have dreamt about it." So she went to the king, Brahmadatta, the same one, and said about her dream, and tell him that she desired to possess such animal, otherwise she would die. The king, as every other man, most of the men on this planet, he was very afraid of his wife, that maybe she really die. So now the king immediately sent for his sage and asked about this golden, precious and very rare deer. And the sages, you know, his wise men reply that affirmative, yes, there is such an animal. But they don't know where the deer live. So the king ordered a richly decorated elephant and told the herald, "Take the elephant and 1,000 pieces of money and go to all the parts of the city. Proclaim that whoever can bring me news of a golden deer shall get both the elephant and the money as a reward." Wow. Now you know who's the boss, right? Immediately, he spent all this money for his wife. So the herald, mounted a white horse and rode through the city, proclaiming aloud the king's order. The merchant's son, who had just entered Benares, heard the news and went up to the herald, saying, I can bring the king news of the golden deer that he seeks. Take me to him. And the herald took the merchant's son to the palace and requested an audience. Sir, this man says he knows where a golden deer can be found. So the king was very delighted and then asked the merchant's son to bring him there. Oh, they have a lot of conversation like, is that really true? And the man, the son would say, oh, it is true. And then the king would say, oh, please take me there. And then the son would say, I am very great honor to take you here, etc., etc. So the king took a very large troop of soldiers and informer and set out for the forest where the golden deer dwelt. When they had arrived, the merchant's son said, Sir, within that clump of flowering mango trees dwells the golden deer that you seek. So the king told his men, Surround the grove and keep your bows and arrows ready. On no account let the deer escape. The king rode the horse himself to go and to capture the deer just for his beloved wife. Now, can you see what it's like to be a king and what for? Now the deer, who had been resting under the shade of a tree, heard the noise and was instantly alert. He rose to his feet and saw the king standing at a distance with the merchant's son and a group of courtiers. He thought to himself, I shall be safe where the king is, so I shall go to him. That's what the golden deer thought. So he ran to where the king was. Swift as the wind, he ran towards the king. But the king immediately raised his arrows and prepared to shoot him. Because he thought, if the deer is wounded, you know, in the leg or something, then it will be easier to capture him. But the deer called out very loudly, said, Great king, stand still. Please do not let your arrow fly. And the king was very astounded by the clear ringing tones of the deer's voice and dropped his arrow and bow. The soldiers and other people also crowded around in amazement, for none had ever heard a deer talk in human language before. So the deer went up to the king and asked him in a voice that was as sweet as the apple pie. Actually, it's honey. They didn't have apple pie in India, but I thought since in English I made it more understandable because you love apple pies. Okay, so he asked the king, yeah, the deer asked the king, Who brought the news to you, O king, that I was to be found here? So the king pointed to the merchant's son and said, He. So the deer, turning his head to the traitor, and said very sadly, It would have been better to pull a log of wood out of the river than to rescue such a one as you. So he scolded the traitor, betrayer. So the king was very surprised and asked the deer, What wrong has he done you? So the deer replied, Your Majesty, I saved this man's life when he was drowning and brought him to safety and nursed him 3 days, 3 nights back to life. And I have told him not to tell anyone where I was to be found, and he has promised me thus. Now, because of his ungrateful act, I am in danger. Because he loved gold and money. That's why he sold his rescuer. On hearing this, the king was extremely angry and turned to the merchant's sons. He said, "You have repaid a merciful deed with base treachery. For this you shall die." So he raised his bow and arrow and held it ready to shoot the traitor. The merchant's son was very afraid and trembling in every limb. So he fell on his knees and begged for mercy. Seeing his plight, the deer was moved with pity and said to the king, "Please let him go. Do not have the blood of this wretched being on your conscience. Give him the money that you promised him and send him away." So the king hesitated for a while, but finally listened to the deer's plea for mercy and said to the merchant's son, "You own your life thrice over to this noble deer. Depart from here at once and never return to my kingdom again, or you shall be executed." The merchant's son straightway took to his heels and vanished into the depths of the forest and was never to be seen again. Turning to the king, the deer, who was not only noble but wise, said, "Great king, the cry of jackals and birds is easily understood, but the words from men are often full of guile. You may think that a man is your friend, and you will find that he has betrayed you." The king marveled at the wisdom and intelligence of the deer and decided to grant him a boon. "Tell me what you wish, O golden deer, and it shall be yours. Whatever you wish, even though I lose my kingdom for it, I will grant it to you." The deer thought carefully and said, "The boon I ask, O great king, is that all the animals in your kingdom will be forever free from danger." So the king was moved by the compassion of this golden deer and consented. And he made a proclamation that whoever harm any animal in his kingdom shall be punished severely since that day. So the king and the golden deer returned to Benares. Queen Khema was overjoyed to behold the handsome deer with the coat of gold, such as she had seen in her dream. She listened in delight while the deer spoke to her in a human voice that sounded like the tinkling of a silver bell. For many days, the golden deer remained in Benares with the king and queen. The city was decorated and festivities were held in honor of the animal. Then he returned to the woodland grove where he had dwelt for so long and spent the rest of his days in peace. Good story for sleeping, huh? Don't dream of the golden deer because he has become Buddha already. That was long time ago. But you can dream of a golden snail though. Okay, I think I have no need to explain this story to you because it was crystal clear and it was very good. Huh? If we human beings can imitate even a small noble quality of this golden deer, then our world would become paradise. But sadly, many of us have always tried to grasp everything for ourselves in every circumstances. Even in spiritual practice, we still cannot stop being greedy and selfish. To try to snatch spiritual blessing at the expense of others is even graver than trying to snatch property or possession from other beings in the mundane world, because we already are on the spiritual path. Whatever we take, we must earn ourselves. And we can ask for blessing and guidance and help whenever we need. This okay, when the need arises, when it's necessary, but never at the cost of other people's happiness and convenience. Try to remember this. In every situation in life, we must always be considerate and fair-minded. Not that I ask you to always sacrifice yourself, even for the other people's happiness or gain, but at least to play fair. You understand? Because if we are as practitioners and we cannot play fair, how can we expect the world outside to be fair to us or to be a fairer place for everyone to live in? Is that not so? Your soul knows what is right and what is wrong. Your soul knows. That's why you came. We should never forget our dignity and our noble purposes everywhere, for whatever price. Understand? If we practice well and if we love the Master and love God, God knows. The Master knows. Don't they? Sure. And if they don't know, so what? The Master is inside. Even the deer is better than many human beings, and the golden goose, etc. So we should learn from all these golden animals. Huh? We don't care whether he was a Buddha, previous reincarnation or not. Their action bespeaks their inner spiritual achievement. So don't be too proud that we are human beings if we are not up to it. Actually, I don't know why we should be proud that we are human beings. I read in the newspapers, I heard on the radio, I saw on TV, so many noble animals that they rescue people, huh? They rescue their own kins at the expense of their own life even. There was a picture of a cat. She was totally burned, blind, and scarred all over because she came four times into the fire, burning house, to rescue four of her kittens. And she was burned blind and beyond recognition. But she brought them all out to safety. A cat. A cat is very independent. After she was pregnant, I think she's not helped by any male or father. She raises her children alone. And I've seen many cats in our surroundings sometimes who does all these beautiful things to her children. I saw her bringing food, you know, for the children. And I am touched by her devotion. And she has done her best to provide nourishment for her children while eating garbage for herself. I saw it with my own eyes. I'm only very moved by her love. And this picture is still vivid in my mind every time I think about cat. So I don't know why we human beings treat animals so cruelly, most of us, and think of them as a low level of beings. I think many of them, the animals, are so noble and so loving to their own kinds as well as to others. And sometimes you see cat or dog, huh, swim into the very dangerous river to rescue his friends. Huh? Be it a human friend or a dog friend or a cat's friend, they do that at the risk of their own life. But not many of us human beings dare to do this. When we see the situation dangerous, we don't risk our life. But the animals, they see danger, they still risk out of love. So if we human beings cannot return to this basic compassion and love of the natural instinct, which the animals still possess, then we should feel more sorry for ourselves than being proud of us. And that is the reason why we must be vegetarian, because they are truly noble. They truly possess a human quality and a soul within them, just like ourselves. So I think it's also good when we learn from the animal some of the quality, not that we learn to become an animal, but their good quality we should remember, so that we don't feel ashamed to be lower than animal standard, at least. We should rise to the noble position of a saint. And to do that, we must possess compassion and love and understanding and unselfish sacrifice at all times, be it in retreat, at home, in the supermarket, or anywhere else, even in the forest, where nobody else can see us and nobody else is there to record our good deeds or to praise our noble effort. We must always be noble alone, because we alone know what we are, and God knows. Okay, good night. Apple pies.
Thank you for joining us for Between Master and Disciples. Up next, Animal World, our co-inhabitants, right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. May your life be filled with heaven's peace and happiness.